You're listening to a sermon from Bethany First Church of the Nazarene. For more information about our mission to become more like Jesus and to help others come to know him, visit our website at bethanynaz.org.
So I love the fact that I'm a part of a much larger church than just what we see in the room this morning. We had a wonderful first service today, and we were so blessed to have a special guest preacher today, Dr. Gustavo Crocker. He currently serves as a general superintendent for the Church of the Nazarene. So you may say, I don't really understand what that means. We have churches in 160-some countries. And somebody has to oversee all of that which is happening around the world. And so we have a board of general superintendents. There are six of them. One of them is your former pastor, Dr. David Busick. Another is Dr. Gustavo Crocker, who is here today because he will be presiding over our district assembly tonight and tomorrow. So let me just chat with you about him a little bit. Dr. Busick was the 40th general superintendent to be elected in the history of the church. Dr. Crocker is the 41st to be elected in 2013. Prior to that, he was a regional director. In other words, he oversaw all the work of the Eurasia region, the work in Europe and part of Asia. Many other things he has done throughout his life. He has worked for World Relief Corporation. He has worked with Compassion International. He has worked for Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. Interestingly, he's a Guatemalan by birth. In the former church that I served, I went to Guatemala many, many times. And I love the fact that Dr. Crocker is a Guatemalan by birth and special place in my heart for that country. He is actually a licensed architect also. He met with a group of very young people this morning before coming to this service, and he talked about how he planned to be an architect, trained for that, went to the University of Cincinnati as a Fulbright scholar. Later, God called him into ministry. He has a PhD in organizational leadership from Regent University, and he was awarded a doctorate of divinity from Olivet Nazarene University. Dr. Crocker has taught in various universities in Latin America, in Europe, here in the U.S. He speaks several languages proficiently. He has authored many books and articles. His wife, Rachel, is with him this morning. Would you mind standing, Rachel, just for a moment and let us just say we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. They have two daughters, Raquel and Beth, who are grown. He loves Jesus. And he answered a call of God to preach. And today you're here, and God knew you'd be here. And he knew Dr. Crocker would be here. And he has a word for you. And so I invite you to open up your heart, your mind, your ears to what God wants you to say through him to you. So I know you can do it really well. And so I'm going to ask you to do it really well. Would you make this good man feel very welcome at Bethany First Church this morning?
Well, I had heard so much about you, literally. 40, that's what they call Dr. Busick. I always have to follow him everywhere he goes because he's 40 and I'm 41. And I'm reminded often that I'm 41. So he always talked about BFC with much love. And I thought he was talking about another chicken thing like KFC deal, but no, it's BFC. Now he told me what it is, and so I have heard so much about you and how much he loves this church and the family. In fact, one day when we have time, I'm going to tell you about him confirming my baptism in the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in Jordan. So we go a long, long, long way back with Dr. Busick. He had a nice blonde hair, and I had hair when we met. So it's good to be here. Well, one day we were living in Baltimore, Maryland. We had served there someone here from Baltimore. I heard that. We were living in Baltimore, Maryland, after serving several years in ministry in Colorado. And every time the Lord calls us, we have served in Ecuador and back to Kansas City, and in Colorado, back to Kansas City, and Maryland, and back to Kansas City. There is always something about Kansas City. And now our family, our daughters and their husbands live in Kansas City. So every time that we had an opportunity, everywhere we lived, we would come to vacation in Kansas City. And you may think, Kansas City? Well, yeah, I mean, we were in Colorado, and we would just drive from the mountains to go to Kansas City. And then we were in Maryland, and we had our friends there, and we were going to spend Christmas in Kansas City. So I told my friends from church there in Ellicott City, Maryland, and I said to them, well, we're driving to Kansas City for Christmas. And he said, oh, Kansas City. I said, yeah, you know, and I gave all these reasons and excuses. And he said, oh, I don't think you're going to make it with your car. I said, well, and very nicely he said, why don't we trade cars? You drive our van. He had a brand new 2000, that was like quarter of a century ago, a 2000 Honda Odyssey, and I wouldn't even mention the car I had. It was a hybrid, in which it was a lot of brands put together. And so he said, well, why don't you drive my car? And so we agreed to be in a place, and there in that place, he gave me his van, and we exchanged keys, and he took off with my beautiful hybrid, a bunch of brands car, and then I had his Honda Odyssey, the van. And I started driving the van, and got all set, and started driving, and then the thing just went with a weird noise, like, ooh, like I was like, it was forced. And I'm thinking, well, that's not good. And I do not know much about cars, but I know when a car is being kind of forced. And I'm like, I'm driving and I'm just, I'm giving all the gas possible and the car is just going, and it's just going like 10 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it to to Kansas City this way. And so I started thinking, well, what? And the guy was already gone and I didn't have my cell phone and what do I do now? And I was supposed to go pick up the family and I kept on driving. I'm thinking, I'm gonna give it a try. Perhaps it's a driver problem. And so I'm driving it and I noticed that the harder I push, the louder the noise. And cars, they used to have those things that show a C and an H. And, but in case you haven't noticed, I come from Guatemala, hence my southern accent. And so in Guatemala, C stands for caliente. And H stands for helado. So I'm thinking, the needle is going from C to H pretty fast, and so it's getting cool. But there was some bad smell and smoke, and I'm thinking, oh, this is no good. And so I decided I'm gonna find a gas station, because in my country, gas stations have attendants and have people who know about cars. Not here, but anyhow. So I finally I was thinking, I hope there is a gas station nearby, and I'm driving, and there it is. Thank God. In America, every mile, there is a gas station and a church. So that's awesome. And so I found a gas station, and I went there, and I asked the guy, do you know anything about cars? He said, well, what do you need? He said, well, I said, I told him the story, my car here, and the smell and the smoke and everything. And he just walked out, very nice guy, and walked and looked at the car, and looked at me and looked at the car, and he just laughed. And he sat on the driver's seat, and then he just went like this. Well, see, let me just tell you, I learned to drive stick shift. And cars, I mean, real cars, you know, real gears. And also real emergency brakes. You know, they just, remember those? You don't, and the people in the earlier service, all of them raised their hands. But you guys don't. So, you know, those are the ones that you kind of put the emergency brake is here. And then, but this didn't have it. So as I looked around, hey, well, probably it's a new car. It's a 2000, so whatever. Well, the car was on brakes. He had the brake on, and then I don't understand the lights or anything. So he just released the brake, and what do you know? I mean, I'm going 55 on a 50. I mean, this is amazing. Now I'm a genius. I'm driving, and guess what? I thought, this really preaches. I mean, there's a sermon somewhere in here. Because see, what happens is that cars made in the 90s and the 2000s, they're made to go fast. I mean, they're made, you know, you just give it a little bit of gas and they go. With no obstructions. And then I realized that that's true also for us humans. We have been created to live the fullness of life. We have been created to God's own image, you and I. In fact, Jesus said once, I have come so that you could have life, and not just life, but real, abundant life. But I've noticed that some of us, we are like this car. That even though we have been designed to live the abundant life, some of us are like with a brake on. And we live a life like, In fact, there is a story in the Bible that really illustrates that truth. It's in Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read from verses 10 to 16, and I'm going to read from the NIV. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to him, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed her on a Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then shouldn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? This is the word of God for the people of God. Before I start telling this, let me tell you about this woman. In other services, I have introduced people to what I call the Luke 13 greeting. And pastor gave me permission to do that in the earlier service, so he got a thumbs up. So I'm going to ask your district superintendent to come, and we're going to teach you how to do the Luke 13 greeting. So, Dr. Bond, would you please go like the woman like this? And as you come my way, would you please come and greet me? And you can don't look up, and you shake my hand, and we're going to greet each other because we like each other. Now you go down and you go and greet pastor, and he's going to be the same way like this. You go greet him like that because we're running out of time here. Are you doing it? Okay. Now, pastor? Okay, they did. Did they do it? Now, I ask people. Normally, I go to a church and I ask people, you know, I ask six, seven. I ask the entire congregation. I'm not going to do it, pastor. But I asked the entire congregation, will you please say hello to 15 people like this? Forget about it. They hate me after that. And then I ask them the question. So, you know, typical day afternoon show. So I ask him, like Dr. Phil, I sit down and I ask him, so how did you feel? And these are their answers. Some of them said, well, I felt dumb. I felt silly. Others say, I felt embarrassed. I felt quite isolated. I felt that I was the only one doing it, and everybody was looking at me. That's probably how we felt, Dr. Bond. But here is what happens. We did it only for 18 seconds. I timed it. Now think 18 years. That was a woman. 18 years in that condition. Now here's the other disclaimer. This woman, I'm going to say it at the very beginning, this woman was not demon-possessed. The scripture tells us of stories of people who were possessed. In other words, that had the spirits of evil inside of them. They were possessed. This woman was not possessed. There are two things that tell us, that make us recognize that this was not a case of a possessed woman. This was the case of a child of Abraham. Intentionally mentioned there. She was a child of Abraham who was bound by something outside of her. That the enemy who comes to steal and to perturb, he had just put that burden on her. That's what the scripture says. In other words, she was like a believer who was designed to live the abundant life. But for some reason, something, somebody, somehow, had put around her, on top of her, a very crippling, binding situation. And she could not enjoy life at its fullness. Now, let's look at this woman. First of all, she was physically ill. She was physically ill. And if you know what a chronic disease is, you know that when you are physically ill, you already feel that this is crippling. And somehow you just get used to it. I shared in the morning that we get used to that physical situation. This, we call it chronic, and we just learn to live with it. She was physically isolated. She was bent over. She was literally sick. But there was more than that. And we know, because we human beings, we are made in a whole way. We are all interconnected. Our whole being is interconnected. Our physical, our social, our intellectual, our emotional, our moral beings, all the parts of who we are, they're interconnected. And when one is out of balance, it pulls the other ones. So this woman was physically isolated. She was bent over. She was literally sick. And that also created for her to be socially isolated. In fact, most of the people that I have asked during this exercise, they don't talk about the pain on the back for the 18 seconds. They talk about feeling isolated, socially distant. If there is something that we learned during the pandemic, is that we humans, we have been created to connect socially with others. In fact, the most connected generation in the history of humanity, the millennials and the Generation Z, they are the most connected generation in the history of humanity. They were the most isolated generation during the pandemic. I mean, we discovered that we cannot be socially isolated. This woman was socially isolated. She could not connect. I tried to see if they were doing it, but you know, it gave me a neck ache just to see if they were doing it. And you guys look weird sideways. And you know, we are made to connect with people, but this woman could not connect. She was isolated from society, from the world around her. But it is worse than that. Because of the interconnectedness of our physical being and our social being, this woman was emotionally isolated. She was emotionally disturbed. I can imagine this woman unable. I mean, if you only see feet, even the most beautiful pedicured feet, if you only see feet, it's not good. And that was the life of this woman. Her world was limited to seeing feet and dirt. And that obviously had created in her a massive depression. She was probably a depressed woman. And of course, when you are sick and when you are emotionally, when you have emotional problems, when you are facing depression, anxiety, mental illness, and then you're physically ill, then you are broke because you spend all your money in doctors. That was the story of this woman. Oh, and on top of that, she was a woman. Back then, it was already, the women were already born with two strikes against them. And she was spiritually disturbed. People around her, they had considered her abnormal. Because it's not normal for someone who has been designed to walk straight, to look at people in the eye, to connect, to relate, to live in abundance. It's not normal for people to be bent over. It's not normal. Religious leaders, they got used to her. She was in a corner. They allowed her to come to the synagogue because she was a child of Abraham. She would come. But she was bound. Well, I submit to you that I have met many Christians, many good Christians, many children of God, many children of Abraham, many good believers, pastors, church leaders, ushers, board members, superintendents, of all walks of life, that we have been designed to live every day and to walk every day with the abundance of life that Christ has set for us. But some of us walk with a cloud over us. Some of us have chronic diseases that are there and we just get used to them. Somebody told me last time, "Oh man, you look fit. You are skinny. What are you doing?" I said, "Well, try diabetes for a while. I have diabetes. That's not good. And I don't recommend this weight loss program." Some of us just get used to it. There's a cloud. We walked and there is this situation, this condition. Some of us have a bad work experience. We have a bad boss, awful colleagues, awful. We have an awful marriage, the partners. We have our children are prodigals. We have a financial condition. We have a debt. We have creditors. And yet we walk as if everything is okay, but deeply inside, we're bent over. And we cannot walk every day with the same energy and the same fullness of life that we have been designed to be. We are like this Honda Odyssey that is riding on a brake. Here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus saw her condition. I mean, this is awesome. This is awesome because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we are hiding it. It doesn't matter if we are dressing it up. It doesn't matter if we are putting makeup on it. It doesn't matter if we are just pretending. Jesus knows our condition. That's awesome. He saw her condition. He saw this child that had been created to his own image. And he said, "It's not right for you to be in this condition." It's not right for you to be struggling with this condition that, the enemy is putting around you to bend you over. Now I have, here's a parenthesis. Some of us believe that the Lord will release the condition to all of us. Well, He may not. But He will release us from the oppression and the anxiety and the burden and the binding of that condition. He will release us. He has the power to release us. Some of us are bound by our past. Some of us are bound by a life of sin. And we think, well, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know, friend, but if you knew my life, I mean, I'm a pretzel. Have news for you. Jesus knows your condition and He will fix it. Some of us are believers, but we are bound by our past. But something that somebody did to us 18 years ago, 18 months ago, 18 weeks ago, by something that the blood, the inheritance from our parents, we are believers that are walking with the legacy, with the genes of mom, dad, grandpa, great grandpa, all the way to Adam. But Jesus sees it, and He calls us forward, and He says, "You're free. You're released." I mean, He just goes like this. And then you could start just riding the life the way He designed you to be. Full speed. Abundantly. Some of us have conditions around us that we have given up already about. Some of us are struggling with who we are, and our mind is fighting our context, and we are bound. Jesus sees the condition. And He says, "I have come so that you can have abundant life." And some of us may not completely be healed, but He says, "Come, my grace will be sufficient to you." When the Lord spoke to the disciples, and He gave them the story of the sower, and He said, the seed fell on in the midst of thorns and grew, but the thorns strangled the plant. Some of you may be there, the thorns of life, the circumstances of life, they are choking you up. Here's the good news. Jesus knows the situation. He invites you to His presence, and His presence makes you whole. There may be circumstances in your life that are keeping you from experiencing that abundant life that Jesus offers. That condition may be 18 years old. Or 18 months old, or 18 weeks old, or 18 hours old, or 18 days old. You know, for us, they mean, but for God, they are just numbers. The Eternal One just says, "It's time for you to be released." I first preached this sermon 21 years ago in Canada. I was at Camp Harmattan at the Nazarene camp, and the Lord gave me this word. And then as I was preaching this, the Lord put in my heart my own sister, Vilma. She's like my second mom. She's 14 years older than me, and she is the epitome of sainthood. She is a saint. She is the evangelical version of Mother Teresa. I mean, she is awesome. In fact, She took care of all the siblings, and she promised. She said, "When I'm gonna get married after Gustavo, the youngest, finishes high school, because I wanna see him through." And that's what she did. I finished high school, and then she got married, and she married evil. It was not evil Knievel. It was worse. That guy was is evil, is nasty, is abusive, is controlling, is the epitome. And you know, this saint married this awful wolf on sheep's clothes. And for 25 years, she was bent over. And I went to the altar that day on her behalf and I prayed. And I spoke to her last week. She's just turning 75 years old. And she is walking straight, seeing the light. The man is still alive. But the Lord gave her grace to walk straight. I preached this sermon in Ohio, and this man came after the service. He was weeping. He said, "How did you know?" I said, "What did I know what?" He said, "How do you know? 18 days ago, my son, he just finished college, and then basically he said to us, 'I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to talk to you about it anymore. I don't want to hear from you anymore. You do not exist for me.' That was 18 days ago. And my wife and I, we have been bent over with depression, feeling guilty. We don't know what we do, but you know what? We just put it before the Lord, and the Lord gave us perspective. You may be here today, and not at a marathon, because the Lord wants to release you. I'm talking to children of Abraham. I'm not talking about weirdos. I'm talking about believers. Brand new Honda Odysseys that for some reason, the world, the enemy, the circumstances, they have placed on you a cloud that doesn't allow you to see the horizon the way it is and to live the abundant life that has been designed for you. And he wants to take care of your circumstances, of your past, of your condition. All you got to do is, you don't even need to tell him. He's so obvious to him. He knows it. He sees you. And he loves you so much that he's just calling you to his feet. All of you need to say is, give me the grace. Give me the grace. I need the abundant, sufficient, sustaining grace to walk straight. I don't know what else to say. Pastor, come. There's your people. And You got the message, and I just brought the message, and you know who you are. But the Lord is going to set you free today.
You may have walked into the room this morning saying, "Rick, I've been carrying a heavy, heavy load, and I carried it in with me today." There may be days in your life where you feel like you can barely lift your head. You don't feel like you're living the abundant life that God has provided for you to live through Jesus. I've got circumstances in my life, but I'm living under those circumstances. I'm not living above them. But Dr. Crocker has reminded us today that God sees you. He loves you. And he wants to set you free. Circumstances may not change today, but God can change your perspective about the circumstances and help you to come to this life that you only dream about living. I remember seasons of my life where I've lived with such heaviness on me that I could barely lift my head. And I'm here to tell you today that in those moments, Jesus touched me and he raised me to the life that he provided for me to live. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing together, and as we do, I want to challenge you in this way. If you feel this morning in your heart that God is talking to you about what you're going through, and you say, I really would love for Jesus to do something in me. I mean, I need him to do something in me. I'm not going to say, if you want to come and pray, then feel free to come. No, I'm going to say, if you want to pray, please come. I'm urging you. I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you. Take a step of faith. Walk down the aisle. Kneel at an altar and put the Lord to the test and see what he might do in your heart and mind and life today, okay? So, Lord, we commit these moments to you. I pray that people all over this room will be set free today, that their heads would be lifted to live the life that you've provided for them to live through your work in your Son, Jesus, on our behalf. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Don't hesitate, would you not? As others have already done, step out and just come and find Jesus' healing today.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Savior, isn't he wonderful?
Go this morning, receive this blessing that the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus would go with you. Amen. You're dismissed.
This has been a sermon from Bethany First Church of the Nazarene. Join us for our in-person services on Sunday mornings at either 9 a.m. for traditional or 11 a.m. for contemporary. We'll see you next week.